The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome to the Brightside Chat. My buddy John and I like to hang out and talk all things comics. He owns a comic book store. I like to talk. Here we are. We try to keep things positive. We try to have a good time. This week, we're going to talk about the much-anticipated Season 3 of Young Justice. Before that, not so positive. I get a little upset. We also do our comic roundup where we highlight comic books from this week. And don't forget to listen at the end for all our participating comic book stores that are sponsoring us and helping you guys save some money. Now let's head into the store. Hey, John.
Hey, DJ. What's happening, man?
I'm pissed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's a good way to start the day.
Yeah. You hear that?
Controversy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Yeah. That's our new alarm. So.
Oh, okay.
That's our new alarm for war. But there's a crisis going on. There's controversy, and I'm not happy about it.
Uh-oh.
Last week, it came out. Did you hear about it? The Heroes in Crisis, of all things. So. The next day, we recorded last week on Wednesday night, Heroes in Crisis 4 came out. The next day, I wasn't even on Twitter. I saw it online. And different places like IGN, Bounding Into Comics, different websites, people are getting pissed off.
The Giants.
Yeah,
right?
But people are like, Poison Ivy controversy, which actually, I just saw that one, but what brought all this to the forefront was Batgirl's depiction in Heroes in Crisis 4. Did you read Heroes in Crisis 4 yet?
Okay, yeah, I read the book, but I literally don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So I didn't see this crisis. I don't even know what you're going to say.
So I read the book on Wednesday. We didn't talk about it last week because it had just come out. Right. We didn't do any comics last week, and like I said, I see this on Thursday, and I'm like, what are they talking about? And you go to the page, and you know how in Heroes in Crisis they have them sitting there, and it's what, 12 blocks or whatever it is, but it's like
10 or 12 blocks.
Yeah, of each character. And she shows her wound from the Joker, what she gets stabbed through or shot through, which I can't remember. So she shows that, and people are upset that they're sexualizing Batgirl in this scene.
Okay. I didn't see that. Yeah, I didn't see any of this uproar. I'm surprised I didn't, because I usually catch wind of a lot of this stuff, but that's stupid.
One girl on Twitter... The blatant sexualization of female characters in Heroes in Crisis, especially considering the context of the series and these panels, has frankly been so disturbing and disgusting. I'm honestly disappointed by DC and the creative team behind this. So, and this one was on Twitter. I stopped flipping through the thread, which is stupid, I know, on my part. But you get people going, why does she have to pull her pants down like that? Well, she doesn't pull her pants down. All she does is she shows the stab, which is on her stomach and on her back. And they're like, why would she do that? What would make the people are commenting that aren't even reading this comic? Or it looks like some of them don't even read comics. And it's like, why is this news that Batgirl, who wears what I guess is spandex all the time, but now you're making it like sexual. It's just stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah, it is. It is very stupid. I don't know. I mean, first of all, it's comic books, and all these characters are over sexualized in every comic. If you've ever read Witchblade or Red Sonja or listen to all the jokes about Nightwing's butt
I actually, it's funny you say that. Did you, DC Daily last week, they had one of the artists that got to draw Nightwing. And she was all excited because there was a specific panel, and she commented, and of course I saw this before this quote-unquote controversy popped up. And she was saying, oh, it was great. I got to draw this panel, and it was a shot of Nightwing from behind with him looking over his shoulder. And she goes, and they throw the image up on the screen. And it's, right. You know, and it she's like, I got to draw that glory. She said, I got to draw that glorious butt or something like that. And it's like,
right.
And meanwhile, part of the stuff they're upset about in Heroes in Crisis about Batgirl is like two pages later, they got, I think it's Superman laying in bed with no shirt on. And it's like, but right. Nobody's talking about that. And it's just, right. Look, I know this is a bright side. We're supposed to be positive, but I needed to take a moment. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, hey, you're human after all.
I apologize for coming in hot.
all those that bet on human, you can collect your winnings at the desk.
Nobody bet that. So. All right. So
no, that's weird. Yeah, I hadn't heard that. I think it's stupid. I mean, in any context, like anytime you see a victim of a crime that's in therapy, they will, in any movie or TV, they will always show the wound or talk about the, I mean, I don't see, that seems very natural to me.
Yeah.
That she would show that.
Well.
And how is that set? Like, of all the things, like, she's sitting there in her tight, skin-tight spandex through the whole thing, and that's not sexual, but because she shows a stab wound. What's sexy about a stab wound?
No.
Like, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's,
well, and that, it was that she...
That, to me, is the least sexualized panel on the entire page.
Right.
You know, complain so. About the other 11 panels, but not that one.
It's... But I think...
I don't know.
Some of it, like, so they also complained about the panel with Lois Lane in the doorway. And
right,
she says...
she's all skimpy with the Superman
t-shirt
on. And,
she's in her, like... red underwear, and it says she's in the doorway, and it is. It's kind of like a sexual pose, and her,
right.
She says, "What do you want me to do?" And I laughed. I mean, I think that right. It's funny, and they do that on in my interpretation. I thought it was funny because you got a girl sitting in the doorway going, "What do you want me to do?" And then you read on in context, they're talking about something that, you know, with work, and they're just having a conversation, and she just happens to be wearing this, but it is kind of a funny situation and a funny quote, and they do that on purpose for the humor of it. It's not the right. it's ridiculous. So I had to get that off my chest. I've been holding on to that since last Thursday.
All right.
So
I thought you were going to bring up in the bigger controversy about the whole thing.
Oh, do we need another
all
alarm?
The people that we might, because
controversy.
All the people that were attacking Tom King on Twitter, accusing him of not really ever being in the CIA, or, you know, they were calling into question his background. And, like, to me, that's what I thought you were going to talk about when you brought up Heroes in Crisis. And that's stupid, too. First of all, who cares if he was or he wasn't? What difference does it make at all on the story he writes? But, like, who are you to call... to call this into question? Did you live with the man? Did you, you know, were you his personal biographer? How do you know what he did or didn't do? You know?
Yeah. And then,
I mean, that,
right.
That to me is stupid.
And then he tweeted out his credentials, or I think his, right. Or his wife did, or something
well, his
like
wife
that.
Did. Yeah. Then his wife started tweeting, well, you know, you guys weren't the ones sitting at home waiting to find out if he was going to get killed. You know, it's like, you know, you don't call into question anybody else that says they served in any of the military. So why would you call this out?
Right.
It just seems stupid to me.
Well,
but that just goes back to, and I know we're a public entity now, and we use social media to promote ourselves, but this is why I think Twitter is the biggest cesspool, you know,
well, it is.
On the internet anyway.
And it's that's why we started this. Honestly, that's right. You and I were talking, we started this to kind of combat that, combat the negativity. And so I think maybe going forward, we do more of this. We'll have our we want to sound off. We'll have our little alarm. We'll sound off for a minute, and then we go back to being positive people. How's that sound?
That's good with me, because you have no idea how much stuff I sit on, because I'm not allowed to talk about it on our Bright Side podcast.
Oh boy! So all right. Well, you just okay.
So
did I open a can of worms?
You might have.
Are you done for this week? We've just had two sounders.
I'm done.
Okay,
I'm
I done made it. I made it.
I'm not prepared.
All right.
wait till I get ready.
Wait till next week.
That's right.
All right. So we're all good. Everything's good. We're in a good mood. Everything. How was your week? Yeah. Everything good?
Everything was good, man. I had a good week. So.
So you ready to get into some Speculator Roundup? We haven't done this in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah. Sure thing. Yeah, I am.
Let's talk some
like
comic
I said,
books.
It's been quiet. Yep.
All right. Let's. What do we got coming up that I can spend my money on this week?
All right, DJ. Well, we had a couple of pretty big Speculator books that hit this week. First one being Harley Quinn, number 57. The B cover, the Totino Tedesco variant. This thing shot through the roof almost overnight. Like, as soon as they started releasing images of this book, people started jumping on it. And prices are already jumping at $25 to $30 on eBay for this book.
This isn't the one I saw, is it?
It is the one
I saw today that I asked you to save me one. You said it's gone.
Yep, the one I tweeted you earlier because I knew we were going to talk about it tonight. So I mean, it's a gorgeous cover, and I can see why people like it. But you know, again, this is an open to order variant, just like all the other ones we've been talking about. And you just never know which one's going to click. And for some reason, this one did. And a lot of people got caught short on it. You know, I ordered a decent amount, but I was sold out before I opened. I mean, they went through my website last night and cleaned me out. And I had people calling all day for this book. So so that's the one I would be on the lookout for if you could find it. Hit your shops up. Try to get Harley Quinn 57 variant cover. And then the other one is Rags number 3. We talked about Rags before. This is a small press book, Antarctic Press. People are starting to get on this one now because the first two, you know, really jumped up in price quite a bit. So number 3 isn't quite as bad because retailers are starting to catch on to it. But even this one here is selling for $8 to $15 depending on the cover. And you know, still got a little bit of heat for a brand new book that just came out today. So if you're into the speculator market, that's one I would pick up. If you're just a comic book reader, I'd give it a pass, to be honest with you, because it's not a great story, but people seem to like it as far as the speculators. So those are the two I would look at there. Our back issue bin diving bonus books this week, we have Avengers 684. This is the first appearance of the Immortal Hulk. This was sort of hot when it came out about a year ago now. You know, and it was selling for $6 to $8 when it first came out. And then it kind of cooled off a little bit. But now that the Immortal Hulk series is becoming so popular, it's starting to heat up again and people are starting to look for it. Selling in the $15 to $20 range now. So that's one I would go out and try to take a look at. And Detective Comics 995, this is one that just came out last week. This is another one of those B covers that is selling now for about $20. That's the high. There are still some on eBay selling for a little bit less. Again, not sure why this one shot up so high like it did, but it is seeing some movement. And it is one that I sold out of again this week. So people are out there looking for it. And that's it as far as the speculator books for this week. For our final order cutoff books, once again, we haven't done this for a few weeks, maybe actually about a month, it seems like. So once again, our final order cutoff, these are books that have orders due on Monday. So this will be the 13th? I guess of January these books are due.
Yeah, today is the 9th, so.
Yeah. I had to do a little math, so that's why I slowed down, because I had to take my shoes off.
14th.
Yeah, 14th.
14th.
Okay, all right. So I had to take I had to take my shoes off and count my toes.
Oh.
But, yeah, I know. So the first book we have is Batman number 64. And again, this is just the variant covers we're talking about. If you're looking for the main covers, Most of the stores should have these anyways, but the variant cover for Batman 64 is done by Sean Murphy.
Deathstroke number 40 by Dave Johnson.
All right, then we've got Green Arrow number 49 by Francis Manapul.
Green Lantern number 4 by Tom Rainey.
Okay, Harley Quinn number 58. This is by Derek Chu. This is my pick. This would be one of my picks of the week. It's a great cover. It's really, really good looking, so this is one I would jump on.
And Justice League number 17. I definitely want to check that out. Will Conrad.
And we've got Young Justice number 2 by Sanford Green. And cool. That's it for our DC variant covers. As far as our new series for DC, there's only one, and that's Female Furies, and that's about has to do with the Furies on Apocalypse. It's one of the Fourth World stories. And this has the variant cover for this is done by Francesco Mattina, and it is a gorgeous cover. Don't know much about what the series is going to contain, but that's the book I would pick up just for the cover alone on that one. Moving on to IDW, we have one new series. This is Marvel Action Black Panther number 1. I know we've talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Marvel Action Spider-Man, and then we had Marvel Action Avengers. So once again, this is the partnership between IDW and Marvel where they're doing young readers versions of these characters. So this is one that I look forward to because I really loved the Spider-Man and the Avengers books that they did. Moving on to Marvel, variant covers from Marvel. I'm going to lump these all into one line here because we have basically the Skrulls variants. The Skrulls are the themes for this month's Marvel covers. And Skrulls variants are going to come on Avengers 14, Conan 3, Daredevil number 1, Deadpool number 9, Immortal Hulk 13, Uncanny X-Men number 11, and X-23 number 9. My picks of those are X-Men 11 by In-Hyuk Lee and X-23 number 9 by Emanuela Lupacino. New series from Marvel. We've got Age of X-Men, Marvelous X-Men. That's number 1 of a 5-issue miniseries. That also has an In-Hyuk Lee variant that's pretty good-looking cover. We get the relaunch of Daredevil number 1, so the Man Without Fear miniseries has ended, and Daredevil number 1 will be launching. Gunhawks number 1. I have to admit, I have no idea what that is or what it's about. So I have to go, and hopefully they'll drop some info on that. And then continuing the Old Man saga at Marvel, we've got Old Man Quill number 1. So we went from Old Man Logan to Old Man Hawkeye. Now we've got Old Man Quill. Don't know what's going on with that either. But I do know also in the last issue of Old Man Hawkeye, they introduced Old Man Daredevil. So I guess we're going to have the geriatric defenders. I guess that's what they're building towards. I don't know. But
oh, boy.
But, you know, Old Man Logan, we went from Old Man Logan to Dead Man Logan. So now I'm waiting for Dead Man Hawkeye to come up and Dead Man Quill after that. It's just a whole thing they've got going on. So anyways, jumping off down to Dynamite, we've got another new Red Sonja series. So the current series ended with issue 25 that just came out this week, and issue number 1 is relaunching in a couple of weeks. So Red Sonja is one of my favorites. I love to read some Red Sonja, so I'm looking forward to this. There's a whole bunch of variant covers for this, too many to list, so I would go into your store and get them to pull those up for you so you can take a look at what they have going. And from Aftershock Comics, we've got Oberon number 1. This looks pretty interesting. It's kind of like Oberon is the king of the fairies in like Shakespearean mythology, I guess. So okay. It just looked interesting just from the cover and the little blurb I read on that. So it might be one that you want to go in and check out from Aftershock Comics. And I've been talking a lot, so we've got some recommended reading. I've got a couple, but I know DJ does as well. So how about if I let you go through yours first, and then I'll go through the two that I have.
All right. Well, if I read I read today Green Lantern 3. That's it. Okay. I know you're reading that series.
Yeah.
It's a good series. If you haven't picked the series up, I recommend the series. But to me, it was a little, compared to a lot of the other ones I'm reading right now, it's a lot of information. Each page is, like, loaded. Like, even the artwork, tons and tons of, there's just tons of detail. There's a lot of words. I don't mean to sound ignorant, but there's a lot
No, I hear you.
You know what I mean, though? Because it's really good. The issue 3 is, it looks like he's going up against God, the cover.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. Obviously, it's not God, but it's a good story. And I'll go right to the other one, the Batman number 62.
Mr. Pig.
Yeah, that cover, I love that cover. My son saw it and he didn't like it at first, and then he saw the outline of Batman and the blood on the wall in the background, and then he kind of liked it. But that whole series there is it's the Nightmare series. It's, you know, each story is a single story. It goes, what, 5, 6, 7 stories, something like that. And this is only the second one. They're really good. They're all going to tie in together at the end. But
They will.
Definitely is, I mean, very creative. The artwork is awesome. And the stories are crazy, crazy. A lot of fun to read. So that one is Batman number 62.
Okay.
And what do you got? I'll save my last one because it ties it into our to what we're talking about.
All right. So I read a couple of new books this week. The first one is called Gunning for Hits. This is from Image Comics. Really, really like this book a lot. A lot more than I thought I was going to, just looking at it. The first thing that stood out for me when it came in was the cover. You know, you've got a very David Bowie-esque character right on the cover, so that brought me in right away because I'm a Bowie fan. It's a series that's set in New York in the mid-80s. The main character is a record promoter, and his job is to, you know, sign talent for the record label. So the first issue just kind of goes through him, and he's, you know, working with a new act that he's trying to bring on board. And it's got some really great twists and a lot of cool dialogue. I don't want to not spoiling anything, but you get like halfway through the book, and
this is your specialty.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm trying not to. But you kind of get halfway through the book, and like they kind of put it on pause, and then there's like 4 pages of just all these random comics, kind of talking about the music industry, and then they unpause and they go back into the rest of the story. And I just thought that was really cool. It was really quirky, kind of hard to follow because you didn't really know if you were going left to right or up and down, and nothing. It didn't really matter how you read it. Each little blurb was just kind of all on its own. And I thought that was really cool, and had a great twist at the end on the last page. So like I said, I really loved this book a lot, and I can't wait to see the next one. The writer for this, Jeff Rugvi, this is the first comic book he's ever written. He was actually a music scout. I mean, he was in this job in this time frame, so he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's writing about, and it was really cool, and I really recommend it. And the coolest thing about it is that every issue actually includes a Spotify playlist with music.
Oh, really?
This picked specifically to go along with the issue that you read, and then the playlist will just obviously continue to grow as each issue comes out, and they will in the books talk about why specific songs were added to the playlist. And I haven't got a chance to go through the playlist yet, so I don't have any idea what's on there, although I wouldn't be surprised to find some Bowie and some 80s hits on there. But really unique and really cool book. Can't recommend it enough. And then the second book I read was also from Image Comics, and it was Criminal Number One. This is a new series premiere for Criminal. Like, this is not a new title for Image. Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, they've been doing Criminal off and on for several years. I think there's six trade paperback collections of stories. And they're all basically set in the same world, but they're all independent story arcs. So some of the characters may cross paths with each other in different stories, but you don't have to really have read any of them to read any of the others. But if you do read them, you get a lot of cool backdrop stuff happening. So for me, I've never read Criminal at all. I've never picked up an issue of it. So this was the first thing I read. It's very new reader friendly because, like I said, I had no trouble figuring out what was going on. But it did intrigue me enough that I do want to go back and read some of the earlier stuff. So to me, that's the sign of a good story, when it makes you want more of what you're getting. And, you know, again, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but if you know Criminal, this is more, I'm sure, more of the same and really great stuff. If you don't and you're new to it, don't be afraid to jump in. Even though there's a big back catalog of it, you don't have to really be familiar with it to get started.
Cool.
And yeah, it's got a, you know, again, it's you know, it's called Criminal, so obviously it's, you know, it's following the seedier, you know, these are criminal. These are not hero characters that we're dealing with. They're criminals. So they're not lovable characters or by any means, but it was very compelling and I really enjoyed it. So those are the two books that I read this week, and I recommend both of them.
Cool. The last one takes us right into our subject for today, Young Justice. So
awesome.
I read the first Young Justice by Brian Michael Bendis. It's the first Wonder Comics Young Justice to come out. That's the new, you know, we talked about this a while ago. This is supposed to be for younger readers.
Yeah.
This is a pretty good book. I would say the artwork kind of looks like it's for younger readers. You know, it's kind of a little bit more stylized, a little simpler. But there are a few pages where there's some good detail, some good in the artwork I'm talking about. I won't give anything away about the characters, because if you follow Young Justice, you know, you're probably familiar with the characters. Well, it introduces some new characters while using, you know, incorporating the old characters. Right. It by the end of the book, you're like, I really, just like you said a minute ago, I can't wait for the next one. And then you find out I'm not getting it for like a month. So I'm kind of disappointed about the time span, but it's a good story. I wouldn't say it's for younger readers, but I also wouldn't, it's not an adult topic either. It's not, you know, it's definitely not an adult theme, but it's really good. Really good book, really good art, good story, and new characters, especially if you're a fan of Young Justice. And that takes us into what we're talking about this week, and that is Young Justice episodes 1 through the first three episodes in what, how many years, John?
It's been 5 years, I think, since I want to say 2013, 2014, since the season two. So
yeah, you know, full disclaimer here, I've just started watching them back in the fall, and much like I just said about the first Wonder Comics story. I noticed in seasons 1 through 2, at the end of every episode, you couldn't wait for the next episode. And luckily, I was just binge watching it. But
right.
You couldn't, I mean, each story ended like on a cliffhanger. And you couldn't wait until, you know, and I just went right to the next one. But really, really good writing. Really, really good stories throughout the seasons. And then obviously, we ended season 2 with that. That cliffhanger, and like you didn't laugh at me, you were lucky me, it was starting in January.
Right.
It's like, wasn't 5 years ago on that cliffhanger. And that brings us up to date. What did you think of the first three episodes? We'll go spoiler free for a little bit, and then we'll get into the stories.
Well, I was actually pretty surprised with the direction they went off right off the bat. It's hard to elaborate on that too much, spoiler free. But overall, I liked the first three episodes. You know, you don't get a lot of content, obviously. Three episodes of the animated series, you're talking about basically 1 hour worth of viewing time.
Yeah.
So, and this is a long season. Like, if you noticed, like, season one didn't follow this so much, but season two had a definite theme. Like, season two was called Invasion.
Right.
And the whole season was based around this theme. Now, granted, you had episodes that, you know, didn't always tie into that overarching theme, but you had a whole subplot that went on for the entire season. So you're going to get the same thing here on this season. So this is a long, slow burn, I guess. We're going to find out over many weeks what's happening for the season. So I felt like the first three episodes were just a taste of, you know, what we're going to get. And we really don't know a whole lot at this point what we're going to get. So it's hard to really talk too much about them.
Well,
because we don't really know where we're going with this.
And that's kind of how I felt. I don't want to set off an alarm or anything, but I wasn't watching the first three episodes. I was just whelmed.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it's like I wasn't like, because, and I think a lot of that had to do with I was looking forward to it for so long, you know, like a month.
Yeah, well, try 5 years.
Right, so that's what I mean.
or actually never knowing that we were going to get it in the first place.
Exactly.
After, you know.
Exactly. It's like, I wonder how those people feel. Because I finished the second season sometime in November. And then I rewatched a bunch of them. I watched the Young Justice Enhanced, where they did some behind-the-scenes stuff. But then you come into this season, and I read the two comics that were supposed to link the seasons together. I don't know if you read those on the app.
I did not. No,
so I read those. We'll get into that with spoilers. But these three episodes, I don't think it's a spoiler to say there wasn't a lot of Young Justice. It seemed to be mostly young and or old enemies. It, you know what I mean? Like all three episodes seem to be setting up the villains, and not like you got very few Young Justice characters, I felt.
Yeah, well, it's hard for me to expand on that.
Yeah,
unless we're gonna go spoiler, we'll do that in a minute.
But you know what I mean? But do you see what I'm saying? And it's like building off of what you said, like it just seems to be like, oh, this is a reintroduction of everybody, but they're not introducing the characters. They're not, you know, the Young Justice. There's very few Young Justice characters.
Well, I mean, in a way, we know all these characters already because this is season three, so there's not a lot to introduce there with the Young Justice team. There are some different roles and different looks for some of these characters, though.
Yep. I just thought I was expecting, and maybe that's the problem, is I had expectations. I was expecting like some new characters, kind of like, remember how you went from season one to season two, the characters aged and they brought in a bunch of new characters, and some of the characters had different roles, which they did do that this year too. But I just overall, I just felt like it was a little bit of a letdown. I'm sure it's at the end of the third episode, you really you can't wait for more. And I think that's kind of how they were writing it. Like they know they were gonna do three at a time, so it's almost like they wrote an hour, and then they knew people would go binge right into the next one. So they really saved that cliffhanger for the third episode to carry us to the following week, to the next week. So, that's
life. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's my overall feeling. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I was expecting to be overwhelmed, and I just ended up being whelmed, and that's a little disappointing to me.
I feel like I liked it better when I saw it as Captain America: Civil War, to be honest with you, because.
I was saving that for spoilers.
Well, I didn't unspoil anything, but that's what happens when we don't talk ahead of time. But so I guess let's just jump into spoilers then, right?
Okay.
Because we go into episode one, and it's basically like the Sokovia Accords.
Only called Markovia.
Right, only it's called the Markovia Accords for the Justice League. So I guess the first thing, you know, let's talk about the title. This season is called Justice League Young Justice Outsiders. And we don't really know what Outsiders is going into the season. We didn't know. But after the episode,
I'll say I had an idea because there's a whole Batman Outsiders series. I had a feeling before it started.
I didn't know that they was going to tie in, you know, just because the words.
Right. I mean, they literally, the same. That's how they open up. It's like, oh, it is the Batman Outsiders.
But literally, yes, by the end of that first episode, you know, again, very much like Civil War, you've got a Justice League team that's hampered by Lex Luthor's United Nations, and they're not allowed to go in and do things. So Batman decides he's going to split off, and he takes his team with him, and it's the Outsiders. I mean, it's Katana, who was part of Batman and the Outsiders.
Yep.
It's all the Bat family, Green Arrow, you know, and they go off, and you feel like those are going to be the Outsiders.
Minus Canary.
Right, Canary.
Because
she stays behind.
I agree with you. I felt the similarities between Civil War with one difference. I don't want to be one of those people that accuses them of stealing, because I don't think they're doing that. It's got a long history in DC, so that's it. It's not that big of a deal. It is. It's just funny to laugh about. But here's the difference. I think, and I think you'll agree, is that they're doing this because they know Lex Luthor's up to something. They say that right at the beginning. He's clearly, and they do this separation. You know, Batman leaves, so they can solve this issue. They can solve this crisis because they know that if they stay within, we're not gonna be able to operate the way they need to operate. I thought it was funny that there's no Superman yet. We haven't seen Superman yet.
Right. Well, one of the big changes as far as the roles go is that you've got Calder leading the Justice League.
Yep.
So
yeah, no Aquaman.
Again, I didn't read those two.
Yet.
Right. I didn't read the two comics to bridge the seasons, but like you wonder what's going on there because you're right. There's no Aquaman. There's no Superman.
Or no Arthur Curry. So I don't know. Is he Aquaman now? Aqualad. I think he became.
Well,
Aquaman,
I thought they called him Aquaman actually in the episode. So, right, we don't know really what's going on. I'm sure we'll find out more as the season goes on. But there's a very different look to the Justice League. We mentioned a second ago that there weren't a lot of new characters for Young Justice, but you actually do see a lot of new faces while this is going on because the Justice League are having their meeting in the room. And all the Young Justice members are kind of hanging out outside,
right?
But you've got Spoiler out there. You've got some different characters that we haven't met yet,
right?
I don't know that we're going to meet them. We might not even see them again for the rest of the season. Who knows?
But that's what I mean by like we didn't meet these characters. They show in episode one. They show all these characters standing around outside of a meeting room. You go into the meeting. You see the bunch of characters in there. Then after that, it's, you know, for the rest of the story arc, for the next, two and a half episodes, it's basically four or five characters.
Right.
But from, I don't know if you've watched any of this, did you see any of the special on DC that they did on Young Justice? And they talked to some of the writers and who they're writing. And I guess it sounds like there's going to be different... I wouldn't be surprised if the next three episodes is a different Outsiders group.
Well, that's what I was going to say, going back to the Outsiders theme. I feel like you're right. After the meeting breaks up, the next couple of episodes focus on Nightwing and his little band that he put together. You've got Black Lightning. Oracle is there behind the scenes.
Yeah, an unpowered Black Lightning.
Right. I can't figure out if it's Tigress or Artemis because they went back and forth
three times
on what they were calling her.
They called her Tigress once, but they kept referring to her as Artemis. And then I think Black Lightning at one point said Tigress when they were in the in that sewerage area.
Right.
And even on the little icon, I love those contact lenses.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
It's so cool. And it's like they have to use their hands, though.
Right.
So their hands reach up and touch the little icons in their contact lenses, which I can't wait to get a set of those.
Right.
But her little icon was an arrow.
Right.
Which is Artemis. But if she's Tigress, I don't think she would still have the arrow. And she's supposed to be giving up that because of Wally.
Right.
And
so, like I said, I don't know, but I think they're, like, to me, that's an outsider's team also.
Yes.
So, and I don't know that, you know, maybe you listened to this thing with the writer, so maybe I'm wrong here, but I was almost under the impression that these might be the only characters we really see for the whole season.
No. In the writer's thing, one of the writers was like, I get to write the Batman team. And I was like, all right, that was cool, because it's like, we're going to get a whole Batman part.
But that's not Young Justice to me. Like,
Don't
get me wrong. I like these characters, and I love the Justice League. But if I want to see the Justice League cartoon, I'll watch the Justice League.
Right. But
like,
I want
Young Justice.
But I'm sure the Batman team is the Batman family, so it'll be all the younger, you know, it'll be, which Robin is it now? It's not Jason. It's not.
That's Tim Drake.
Tim. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Tim. So I just feel like they're going to have that. This next series, the next three episodes might be a completely different team. And that's what I. And then all of their missions will intertwine. Similar to season two, where you find out Aqualad is undercover.
Right.
You know? So it's. I definitely recommend watching that. It's only 8 minutes. It's an 8-minute little behind the scenes, and they're going to do one, I think, each week or something like that. They're going to release.
I'll watch it.
Week.
I actually looked for the comics the other night after I watched the episodes, and I couldn't find
them. They're down.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't get to read them, and I couldn't find them. So
yeah,
I don't know what's going on with that.
The comics are. It really is just linking. Superboy and what's her name putting them back together.
Miss Martian. Gonna say that they're also back together at the beginning of this season.
Yeah,
where they weren't through the entire season two. They weren't a couple at all.
Well, they were. You could see the evolution of their relationship in season two. By the end of it, they were back, like, close to it. Well, the two comics were basically them working it out. And them being a couple, and they had been a couple, and then it's a pretty good read. Hopefully they pop them back up, but it does link, it does explain why they're all of a sudden a couple now at the beginning of the season.
I thought it was interesting how so with Miss Martian, you know, she's evolved quite a bit over the three seasons, and so we start this season, and she's sort of embraced her white Martian heritage. While she's in her form as Miss Martian, because now she's not green, she's white, she's bald. But when they jump into the home life between her and Connor, she's back to, she looks like human Megan again.
Yeah, Megan.
Like,
hello,
from
Megan.
The TV show. Yeah, yeah, hello, Megan. So who's that for? I don't understand, because Connor knows who she is, and I don't know who she's putting that visage on for. But I just thought it was interesting the way she's kind of evolved her
look. At you,
her look.
Big words like visage.
I know, right?
I was almost going to Google that.
I have to break them out and dust them off every once in a while, otherwise they get stale. So.
I'm going to have to check and see if that's even a word.
Yeah, it might not be.
But yeah, no, I noticed that too. I was like, at first where she was bald and then back in the apartment or wherever they were living, and she looked like Miss Megan, or right. you know, hello Megan. But what did you think of the story going into episode two, and the whole idea of human trafficking, but it's human, not mutant.
It's metahuman trafficking.
Yeah. Which is a play on, and they say this in that little special, like they're trying to focus on that because of human trafficking that's going on in the real world.
Right. So I felt that. You know, it feels like they're trying to bring, you know, real-life politics and events into this fictional comic world in that way. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes that bothers me. Like, I don't want that in my entertainment necessarily, unless I'm looking for it. But it didn't bother me so much here. Like, I kind of liked where they're going with it so far.
What I thought was going to be – what I think is going to be interesting is how do they incorporate this into how they ended season two, you know, with Darkseid. And you have what's the report – G. Gordon Godfrey,
who honestly I hoped we had seen the last of at the end of season two, but he's back in full swing.
But I –
in this season.
And I think he's that one link, though. That's why they showed him. It's not even the same actor that played him. Was it Tim Curry? Is that his name?
I don't know.
The guy that
honestly
played
him. I have no idea.
But yeah, it's not the same actor that played him in season two, but I think he's that one link to show you that this is what's going on. This is part of the plan that was at the end of season two.
Right.
And because he was there at the end of season two, and now you have him here and Lex Luthor trying to manipulate the planet. So how is this, you know, metahuman trafficking gonna play into the overall evil plan of Darkseid?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know how it's going to tie in. We know it's going to, because you can see it in the opening credits. You know, when you watch the opening credits, there's, you know, flashes of Apocalypse over Earth, you know, when you're going through it. So you know that it's going to be part of it. We've already seen, like, the Father Box in, I think, episode two.
Yeah, and Destroyed Mother Box.
Destroyed,
And they mentioned they used the Father Box to track them or something.
That's right, the Father Box. They had the Destroyed Mother Box. You know, the Super Cycle is Apocalypse technology. So, like, all those seeds are still there, and they're definitely not going away from them, but I don't know after three episodes how it's going to tie in yet. But, I have to imagine that it will in some form down the line. You know, they also mentioned, you know, the light is still part of it. They came up in one of the episodes, one of the first three episodes. So
yeah, I heard them mention the light briefly. Yep.
Yeah, definitely tie-ins to season two. You know, they haven't really gone away from all of that, but we don't know where it's going yet because we just don't have enough information.
So
after these first couple of episodes to see.
Did you see the tweet? And this is worth referencing and giving credit if it's true, because that's what she wrote. This is amazing if it's true. At Four-Eyed Raven on Twitter. She calls herself Oracle. I say she because her little picture is a girl. Yeah. But anyways, she did all the I think these are all the titles and they of all of the shows for season three. And I'll start it out. It's like the first three are Princes All, Royal We, Eminent Threat. Then it goes on. The next one is Private Security, a Away Mission, Rescue of. And then the last one is Evolution. And then there's a space. And then it's the next one is Triptych. Then Home Fires, Exceptional Human Beings. If you see the tweet, it spells out the first letter of each one spells out prepare the anti-life equation. So, yeah. And it was like, that's pretty, I thought it was pretty cool if they're really doing that, and that'll be worth tracking. Like, to see as the titles come out, if it's the same.
I just wonder where she's got those titles from, because even looking at IMDb, they only list the first three episode titles.
I know, and that's why I said it'll be interesting to track it if it's true.
Right.
That's what I thought I'd mention. And I'm like, hey, if it, we'll know a few in if they go off rails.
Well, if number four, right, if episode four starts with a P, then we know that she's on to something.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. It's, they're not listed anywhere, at least on IMDb. So unless she, maybe she has some inside info on those titles. But that's really cool if it's true. Because that definitely ties into Darkseid and Apocalypse. And maybe season four.
Yeah.
When we get, you know, when we get there, so.
Yeah. Hopefully there is a season four. That's a nice little segue there. All the talk week about DC Universe. It's, have you heard any of that? Have you paid attention?
Well, I heard a little bit of it. Yeah, apparently, you know, their first quarter numbers or first 6 months numbers, whatever it is, aren't really where they wanted them to be.
Yeah, but
I think we've talked about that before. You know, they had some problems with the launch. You know, they weren't available on Fire TV for really up until a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And I think that things will grow for them going forward.
Yes.
I think, well, like we talked about with the Titans episode, now that Titans is getting ready to launch on Netflix, that's going to bring a whole new awareness and fandom to that TV show, and hopefully that'll translate into people wanting more of DC Universe and some of the other live action shows.
Well, I responded to one of those tweet, or I retweeted that tweet with that article and quoted the article that they say in the article, nobody's released any numbers, so we don't know, but their numbers seem to be down. Well, if we don't have any numbers, what are we going off of?
Projections. I guess, you know, they had projections.
In this particular article, they admit we don't know their numbers. They might just be talking to people like polling people, which it doesn't really matter. And what I had tweeted back was most businesses struggle at the beginning anyways. What comes out of the, flying out of the gate, especially something like this, it's going to grow from here, and then you'll see as this year goes on with all of their content, that'll be the difference. You know, we'll know by the end of the year, is it successful, is it not? It's like they're working out bugs.
Right. Well, and it's hard to get too concerned over a service that really isn't fully operational yet. You know, like I said, we still don't have console availability. We don't really have international availability. So, and I don't know, like you said, I don't even know where these numbers are, who's saying this,
right?
Whose numbers these are. All I will say, though, is that, you know, for DC, if they made their goal, then they set their goal too low.
Well, they didn't, no, saying? And that's just it. And that's one of the things I said is, look on Twitter, look on anywhere, and all of their content is getting very good reviews. Of course, there's always going to be people, there's always going to be some negative reviews to everything. But in large part, they're getting good reviews. Titans was a success. They had good reviews. Young Justice, I'm sure, is going to be good. DC Daily, the people that watch it, enjoy it. The biggest complaint they have is they're not on enough platforms and they want more content. How is that failing? It's like when people want more, that's good. They want more accessibility and they want more content. That to me sounds like somebody that's growing.
Right, but like you said, Warner Brothers is a business, and you know, they're looking for market share and projections. You know, they're out there trying to take market share away from Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Prime. So I'm sure there are metrics that they're trying to meet, and good reviews don't necessarily translate into making those goals. You know, look at any little small indie film that wins awards at Sundance and things like that. They're fantastic movies, but they make $8 in the theater. You know, that's not necessarily a success. So good ratings don't always translate into, you know, financial success. And as good as the ratings are, if they're not making the money they need to make to keep the platform sustained, it's not going to last forever. You know, it's going to go away. So,
well, at the very least,
but my thing is, how do you know, like, how are you panicking already after 3 months? There's not enough. There's not been enough time or data or anything put together for that to, you know, for anybody to really know or be too concerned yet. But I wouldn't doubt that they're down off of what they were hoping to be at even 3 months in, because they were hoping to launch on Fire Stick from day one, and it didn't happen. So, it, you know, whether they went back and adjusted their expectations after that didn't happen, you know, we don't know. We'll never be privy to that information, but...
Well, they've rolled out one show. Now they've got their second piece of original content. Next month there'll be another one, and we'll go from there.
Right, you know? They're not slowing down. And
at the very least, they get absorbed by WB, who's supposed to be having their own streaming service. So all things, you know, look good to me.
Right. You're right. I don't see anything getting scrapped after 3 months. You know, this thing's going to go on. They've invested a ton of money into this, and it's going to go for years before they deem it a failure or a success and decide to take it down or what have you.
Yeah.
There's no way they've put this kind of money into these shows and programming without a plan to keep it going for, you know, a substantial amount of time.
Right.
But, you know, all that being said, yes, let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that we get a season two of Young Justice. I mean, a season four, I guess, of Young Justice. And we get season two of Doom Patrol and Swamp It, you know, all these things. We already know we're getting season two of Titans, so it's going on at least that long.
Yep.
And we'll see. But, you know, again, it's just getting people excited about it. There's still people complaining about lack of content. And honestly, anybody that's complaining about lack of content on there just isn't really exploring everything that's on there. Since this thing is launched on Fire Stick, or really since I figured out the workaround in early December on the Fire Stick, DC Universe has run nonstop in my store 7 days a week for 8 hours a day, and I haven't watched the same thing twice. And I still haven't scratched the surface of everything that's on there. So
right.
there's a ton of stuff on there. Granted, it's not all new original content.
Have you tried
there's
reading
tons of stuff to watch.
Have you tried reading a comic book?
No, I haven't. I haven't read any comics on it.
So I don't know what it would be like on a Fire Stick. I do it with Apple TV.
Right.
And it is so much fun. They go panel by panel. And the way they go from one panel to the next, and then you slide like you to the next panel, but it'll give you the whole screen,
right?
And then it's a really fun way to read a comic, especially some of the older ones. And I mean, it's all free if you've already paid for the app, obviously, and you can fly through a bunch of comics, and it's really smooth interface. With the Apple TV. I don't know what it would be like. I actually, in my theater, I've run it with a Harmony remote, and it works. That actually works a little nicer than the Apple TV remote. But I never thought I'd be sitting there watching, you know, a comic book on my big screen.
Right.
But it looks really good. And they just keep rolling out more and more comics. That's where I read, you know, obviously the Young Justice comics, and it's like you said, there's just more content than you can probably even, you know, absorb.
Right.
And so, all right. Is that good?
I think so.
Let's take a week off from the whole DC universe. Cause we talk about it every single week cause we like it.
Well, we like it, and that's what's going right now. Like, Marvel is not... There's nothing happening right now with Marvel for us to really be talking about. When it is, I'm sure we'll... I can't wait to talk about Captain Marvel and Endgame and all these things in, you know, or 6 months from now.
Speaking of that, did you see Captain Marvel is coming out on, like, what is it called, Women's Day?
Yeah.
National Women's Day or something like that, which is pretty cool.
I feel like that's not a coincidence.
No, I know they didn't know it wasn't a coincidence to them, I'm sure.
Right.
I already bought my tickets, and my daughter happens to be home from school that week, so I'm taking my wife and my daughter. I'd already bought the tickets, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it was, and it's funny, I told my wife, I was like, oh, that was, it's on National Women's Day, and she goes, oh, remember that? That was the day last year. So my wife's a teacher, and they made this, it was a national actual thing, and one of her students sent in a video and commented on her and thanking her and stuff like that. And I was like,
yeah.
I go, oh, yeah, that's the, yeah, so this will probably be just as big as that video was last year.
Yeah.
But.
He'll have a few views, that's for sure.
Yeah. So in the spirit of not talking DC next week, you want to do Venom?
Sure.
We haven't talked Venom yet. It came out when we, like, right around when we kind of started. We'll watch Venom again, and we'll give our review. I don't think there'll be any alarms. We should be okay, but I don't know.
Depends on what happens this week.
All right.
Depends on what happens. We'll see.
No, I meant about the movie.
Oh, the movie? No, probably not. Maybe. Maybe.
We'll see. Have a couple. I think I remember us talking about it. There may be something.
Yeah.
But that'll be fun. So, all right. That's it for this week. You can reach us on Twitter at @TheBrightSide_chat. Tweet at us. Let us know if you watched Young Justice. If you didn't watch Young Justice, anything. Something you'd like us to talk about. Something that we should be angry about and that we're not angry about. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes at The Bright Side Chat or on Google Play, The Bright Side Chat. Facebook, John?
Facebook.com/TheBrightSideChat.
There we go. That was a fun week.
Awesome.
All right. I think we are under an hour.
Yeah, right at an hour. I'm looking at our recording right now. So,
all right, let's cut it now. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Hey, Fred. Hey, thanks for tuning in to The Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to The Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.